It's the TED Radio Hour from NPR. I'm Manoush Zomorodi. On the show today, ideas about rest. Because after you've spent a day working hard, sometimes all you want to do is close your eyes and turn off your brain. But, of course, it's not quite that simple.
Well, you hit the nail on the head. We are definitely very active, at least mentally, when we sleep. Parts of our body get a rest, but our minds are doing a lot of work.
This is Dylan Selterman. He's a psychologist and associate professor at Johns Hopkins. And he's something of an expert on dreams and what they mean in our lives.
You'd be surprised how often I hear the teeth falling out of the mouth dream. I get that a lot from people.
Oh, I have that one.
Yep. I've had a lot of, like, Star Wars dreams where I'm in another universe holding a lightsaber, and I know it's very dorky.
About a decade ago, when Dylan was working on his dissertation, he collected people's stories about their dreams, over 800 of them, to try and understand how those dreams affected them when they were awake.
So we recruited a sample of young adults and asked them to keep a log of their dreams for 2 weeks. And we found that about 20 to 25% of the time, people were dreaming about romantic encounters. Most of those dreams had to do with their significant others, but people did dream about other partners. They dreamt about their exes. They dreamt about new partners they may have met. And we found that when people have those dreams, it is associated with their behavior and their feelings with their romantic partners the next day.
I dreamt I was at a carnival with my girlfriend. She kept beating me at the whack-a-mole game, even though I thought I was winning by a lot. In the end, she won a big teddy bear as a prize, which is apparently what she wanted, so I was happy.
We were watching Saw 2. I was so scared of the movie, I kept ducking my head into his shoulders and squeaking when the gory parts appeared. He laughed and comforted me.
I remember being called constantly by my girlfriend checking up on me. And it got to the point where we got into a fight because I told her she didn't trust me. And I ended up getting beyond drunk and hooking up with some random girl.
A girl left a message on my boyfriend's Facebook page. I find out he called her, they were talking, and he told her that he loves her. How could he do this to me? He just says, "I don't know." And I keep yelling and crying until finally waking myself out of the dream.
Dylan, all we want to know is, what does it mean? What does it all mean?
Well, I wouldn't go as far as to say that every single thing that happens in everyone's dream has a meaning. But I think when it comes to especially the dreams that are very social, that they have a lot of important messages for us.
Here's Dylan Selterman on the TED stage.
If you have this type of dream and you wake up and your partner is sleeping in the bed right next to you, what might you say? What might you do in that situation? What we're seeing in these dreams is a lot of the same kinds of behaviors that people would exhibit with their romantic partners in their waking lives. There's kissing, there's affectionate behavior, there's comforting. That being said, not all dreams are sunshine and roses. When people have these types of dreams with arguments or conflict or betrayal or jealousy, they have more conflict with their partners the next day. And that's controlling for the previous day's conflict. So it's not part of some day-to-day mechanism. There's something unique about the dream. When people have an infidelity dream, when they're cheating on their partner, they're hooking up with someone else, they feel significantly less love and closeness the next day. Why? Why do dreams have this association? Why do they have this effect? The short answer is we still don't know. Dreams are one of the big unsolved mysteries of science. There are several competing theories that might explain what's going on here. Patrick McNamara proposed the theory that dreams evolved in order to facilitate social attachment bonds, especially between parents and children and romantic partners. But what about all those conflict dreams? That would kind of suggest the opposite, that it is almost hurting the attachment bonds. And there's another theory that might address this, which is more along the lines that dreams evolved in order to help us solve problems, in order to see difficult issues from a new perspective and maybe come to conclusions or have solutions that we wouldn't otherwise be able to see, to adapt to emotionally difficult situations.
I am so curious. Tell me more about how these dreams, I mean, especially the negative ones, affected people's moods the next day, even their behavior.
I mean, anyone can have a dream about someone who's not their significant other. But if the relationship is strong, then they might wake up and say, well, I definitely don't want to do that in real life, so I'm going to make an extra effort to be connected to my partner and pay attention to their needs. On the other hand, if the relationship's not going well, maybe that would prompt people to think, I need to move on from this person. A few of my participants, a handful of them, told me that they broke up with their significant others because of the dreams that they were having during the study.
Wow.
It wasn't an incredibly large number, but it was enough that a few of them went out of their way to tell me that during the debriefing process.
So this theory that negative dreams might be preparing you to solve problems, to be clear, it's not just relationship problems, right? If, you know, a quarter of the time we dream about our partners, the other three quarters of the time we could be dreaming about any number of stressful scenarios.
I'm so glad you brought that up. So let's back up a little bit to March of 2020, because I remember seeing a lot of people post online that they were having very vivid and intense dreams during those initial lockdowns.
Mm.
And I was having them too. And I think part of the reason for that is our dreams and our minds, to some extent, are working overtime to try to make sense of this crazy new world that we found ourselves in, where everything was turned upside down. I had a dream where I touched a surface and then touched my face. And in the dream, I was really distressed because I thought that I had infected myself. So I woke up the next day and I was much more vigilant about washing my hands before touching my face. So I think that people were having those types of dreams to prepare themselves for the new world we found ourselves in.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking especially about the general research on cognitive reframing and that kind of emotional work that we put into our general mental health. We take experiences that might be negative and try to extract something positive from them. So that same logic can be applied to our dreams. Just because you have negative emotion in dreams does not mean that we should try to stop those types of dreams from happening.
What do you mean by that? How could that be positive when I think that I've, like, when I first had a newborn, I used to have the dream that I'd forgotten where I put my baby. That was a terrifying one.
Yeah.
Another dream that I have that I've heard many people have is of a tsunami wave.
Mm.
These things that we all seem to dream that are very upsetting.
Right. Well, a possibility is that our minds are thinking about possible things that could happen. And in the dream, it could be more symbolic. It could be more abstract. So maybe the tsunami is just one of many types of problems that we could face. And we are just going over what might happen and how to prepare for it. So if it's a natural disaster, if it's COVID, if it's another problem that we're facing in our lives, who are the people we can depend on? What are the resources we need? How would I prepare for this disaster? And then using that after you wake up to live a healthier life. And we do see this kind of thing happening in people's dreams. What some therapists call dream work. If someone is having a recurring nightmare, to put yourself back into the dream, so to speak, while you're awake. But instead of replaying it exactly, imagine it differently. Imagine that you respond with strength and resilience instead of fear. What would that look like behaviorally? So when it comes to those types of things, I like reframing exercises for dreams, and I like them for waking life as well.
Here's some research by Rosalind Cartwright that shows when you look at women who are suffering from depression after going through a divorce, they are actually less depressed. They're more mentally healthy in the future at a follow-up if they dream about their ex-partner, if they dream about their former spouse. This might seem counterintuitive. You might be thinking, well, how can you get over someone if you're dreaming about them? Rosalind Cartwright calls these dreams that work. that those people who incorporated the thing that stressed them out into their dream were better off, even if the dream content was negative. Dreams have this incredible power to help us heal. As Bob Stickgold said, when you sleep, your brain is figuring it out and holding on to relevant information and throwing out the rest.
You know, on the one hand, Dylan, I am grateful to my brain for preparing me for whatever problems might be looming. But on the other hand, I just want to wake up feeling rested. And from all the anecdotes that you've provided and the research that you've shared, that is just not what's happening. Our dreams are not allowing our minds to truly rest, or that's what it feels like. Am I wrong in thinking that that's what we should be yearning for?
Well, it could also be the case that we just need to redefine what we call rest. Maybe rest is something that is more active than passive. I think about this in terms of physical exercise. Whenever I'm doing a workout and the person leading the workout says, remember to do active recovery, stretch, hydrate, and make sure you're doing the things that are essentially helping that rest and recovery process. But it's never sitting back and doing nothing and lounging on the couch. It's a much more active process than that. And I think with dreams, you could think about it the same way. It is an active rest. It's a way to help us feel refreshed and also get things done.
If you get anything from this talk, I want you to take this home, that dreams are worth your time. They're an important piece of your life and worth paying attention to. That dreams represent this great untapped reservoir of information and insights that you can gain about yourself, about your relationships, about your work, about your physical health. So start tonight. Keep a dream journal. Put a pad of paper and a pen next to your bed, and when you wake up, write down whatever it was that was in your head while you were asleep. You might be surprised at what you find. Your dreams might be trying to tell you something really important. Thank you.
That's Dylan Selterman. He's an associate teaching professor at Johns Hopkins University. You can see his full talk at ted.npr.org.